We're back, baby!
Oh, yeah. Good to be back.
Good to be back. And the NFL season really never stops. There's been so much going on. My goodness, so much going on with the Steelers. Oh, boy. But the big thing is the quarterback drama. Oh, my goodness.
So it's now, never ending.
It's never ending. And now there's basically the news is that they're not going to pursue anybody. They're not going after Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins or Justin Fields or so their problem sounds like they're going to do is have Kenny maybe bring back Mason Rudolph and probably draft someone. And there's your three quarterbacks. Oh boy.
It's a quarterback deep draft, but I just wonder, like, if they're going to draft someone, I'd rather them draft a little bit higher. I like Bo Nix. I think he might be a good fit. He'd be the one guy. I'm kind of glad that the Justin Fields thing, hopefully, is behind us, because I kept looking at that, and I don't know if you and Allison and I talked about this last time, but 68 turnovers in 3 years. 68. 38 fumbles, 30 interceptions. If the Steelers would have drafted him, which they weren't in a place to do, but if they would have drafted him, that would be the exact reason everybody would want him out. So you mean you're going to bring to me a guy that's got 68 turnovers? No. So hopefully that's quashed.
When people kept saying that he's coming here, I just kept thinking of that. It's like, are you kidding me? The number one thing, the all Tomlin wanted out of his quarterback is don't turn over the damn ball. And you're going to get a guy that turns it over all that much? Are you kidding me? Come on.
I think that would have really sent the team into a tailspin too. Just a lot of controversy there. Now Russell Wilson quietly had a decent season last year, but he's also 35. I think you can get Tannehill if you want a veteran quarterback to come in. At least he knows the system. So I'm glad they're sticking with Kenny. I think you and I are both on the same wavelength where he deserves a shot. I know a lot of people out there don't think he does. But I'd like to see how things pan out with Kenny, you know, with the season going forward. So, but they have a lot of work to do. They have a lot of work to do. And now, Joe, the talk really is, could Deontay Johnson be on his way out? Mm-hmm. Which I got to be honest. If they lose Deontay Johnson, they're not losing much. To me, you know, he has 5 touchdowns in 2 years. You know, the one that comes out coming today was maybe Buffalo. And I'm thinking, you really want to put Deontay Johnson opposite of the other drama queen that they have there? Now you have 2 drama queens. It's like bringing Fields here. So, hey, if somebody's going to give us something for Deontay Johnson, which should be a decent exchange, by all means, bring it.
See, but I disagree. I think losing Deontay Johnson would be huge, and I think he's actually very valuable. Now, the attitude, that is a problem. That is a concern. Yeah. But his ability, I think he got the shaft almost his whole career. He started – his first year was the year Ben got hurt, and he had to deal with Duck and rookie Mason. Then he had to deal with Ben at the end of his life. Now he had to deal with, you know, Matt Canada. The poor guy has had one crap thing after another. I think he's actually valuable, and I think they would miss him a lot. And if you're going to get rid of him, fine. I mean, that's cool. I mean, he makes a lot, so that would be a nice, you know, cap savings. But you better get somebody, 2 people that are good to take his place.
I do, but like you said, I think the attitude is it, Joe. And then, you know, cleaning out his locker, he starts talking about how Mason Rudolph's his guy. So it's like, if you are moving forward with Kenny Pickett, maybe it does make sense. Well, if he's not on board with Kenny like we are, then we need to explore other options. I mean, it's not a definitive thing, but there's been a lot of rumor lately just kind of coming up from reliable sources, right, that we see on ESPN, NFL Network, even locally here, that he could be being shopped around. You know, so that might amount to nothing. Maybe he won't be, and you're right. He'll be a Steeler next year. But he's another guy that we need to see a 180 from, honestly, attitude-wise. But you're right. Maybe it'd be nice to have him, no attitude, out there with a full-time quarterback and on the same page. But right now, he's got some repair work to do if it's going to be Kenny Pickett. because he basically threw Kenny under the bus and basically said, I don't trust you. I don't believe in you. And that's got to be mended somehow.
The whole situation with the quarterback is going to be so interesting, no matter
Sure.
what they do. Right now, all you have is Kenny. He's the only person on the roster. We're guessing that Mason's going to come back. And yeah, maybe it'll be Ryan Tannehill. Maybe he'll be the rookie. Who knows what? But yeah, that whole thing of him basically throwing his support for Mason, that was dumb. And that's huge. And now, if let's say, there's some miracle and Kenny Pickett looks awesome in training camp or something like that, and it is obvious that he's going to be the number one guy. Deontay Johnson has any, and if Deontay Johnson is still here, he has some major crow to eat, and he has to say, "Oh yeah, I kind of screwed up there. Yeah, Kenny's my guy." So that was really dumb of him to say. And yeah, all that does is lead the division. And I'm sure it's not just him, but still, they gotta figure that out. And the only and this thing about, well, if they bring back Mason, and they're gonna have a quote unquote competition, but it's really not gonna be a competition. It's just going to be Kenny getting, just them giving him the job. That is not gonna fly with anybody. It's not gonna fly with the players, it's not gonna fly with the fans. They better handle that right. So that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, it's funny though. I kind of compare it. You came from an Italian family. I did as well. And we've all said stuff to our Italian families that we regretted. And the next time you saw them, it was going to be really awkward. So
Yes.
hopefully it's like an
Italians
Italian
hold
thing.
grudges forever.
They do. They
Infinite
do.
time.
So hopefully he can work his way back in there somehow.
Thank God we don't have Tommy DeVito as a quarterback. Then he'd be really mad.
Oh yeah, right. He'd be really pissed. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're lucky it's Pickett and not Pecorino or something like that. So, but that's all you can kind of hope for. I mean, I do feel like a new offensive coordinator, I mean, they've got to feel a little bit of rejuvenation here. And then let's see what happens with the draft and free agency because the Steelers have some money to play with. I think, and I think that since the last time we talked, Mason Cole's gone. So now, it's obvious that they played their hand. They're either getting a center in free agency or they're probably, and I've heard this from a good contact the whole line. I think they're going to go for the center for WVU or the one that's more universally popular is a kid from Oregon. So, I mean, that's going to be very interesting to see how that works. And the running backs have to be excited. The running backs have already said, Harris has already said he's pretty excited about this coach. How can you not be excited about a guy that helped bring along, one of the best running backs we've seen in 20 years? Right. So, yeah, I guess there's optimism. I think it's just we're all waiting for, like, are they going to get their crap together or are we, where are we still at? But I think you make a great point about, I think now the quarterback thing's done because had they brought any of those two in, or you mentioned Kirk Cousins. I think there would have been massive drama. So maybe at this point, that part is now gone and we can concentrate on the rest of this. Who else could they possibly go get? Because there's not a lot of good corners in this draft. There's a lot of good safeties, but the corner, it's not a deep cornerback draft.
And it's a very deep draft and an offensive tackle.
Very.
So it'll be very interesting to see what they do. I think as regarding center, I think they'll do both. I think they'll get somebody, some stopgap guy in free agency, but then draft someone. I don't see that that dude, because you have to spend a first round pick on him, and I don't know if that's a good idea to spend a first round pick on a center. But that Zach Frazier from WVU, yeah, I'd like to see him in the second round. That sounds perfect.
Oh yeah, I mean, and it's funny for the first time in a long time, and I've always maintained it should happen every year anyway. As Penn State fans, we got to see him play against Penn State, and he was probably one of the lone shining moments for WVU in that Penn State game. And he was knocking some guys around. Then at Pitt, they got to play Pitt the same year, which used to harkens back to the '80s and '90s.
Yeah.
But he knocked around Pitt very well, so we got to see a lot of this kid already. And he looks really good. He reminds me a lot of Jeff Harding's. Just really sound technical and just probably plays a little bit more above his size, right? I mean, he's not afraid to hit you, and he hits you hard and fast. So he does what a center does, and I believe he had the best exchange rate of center to quarterback in the country, which makes why his stock is on the rise. So, but you're right. Second round, they might be able to get him because the kid from Oregon quite possibly is going to go first round. It's just where do the Steelers think they can get it at?
It's going to be fascinating. And as of right now, they have 9 million to spend, but you could, but I think I heard you could, like, they could clear out another like 25 million or something like that if they wanted to play around with, get some more cap space. So we'll see what they do, because they have a lot of needs. My goodness. They're probably going to get rid of Allen Robinson, so they're going to need a slot receiver, center, tackle, defensive
Which
tackle, inside linebacker, cornerback, safety. They have a lot of needs, so they better get busy.
it's funny. No offense, Mr. Robinson, but at times I forgot Allen Robinson was even on a team unless he caught a pass, which was rare this year. Like, I mean, I think it
That
was
was
a Bengals
bad.
game. Like, he caught like three passes. Like, oh my God, I literally forgot
Who
he
is
was on the team.
that guy?
When did we get Allen Robinson? Yeah, so you're right on that. Some of the guys they've been talking about, though, have been kind of fun. You always talk about, well, what are the luxury signings that probably have no chance? And what are some of the legitimate ones? And they've been fine, but like, Patrick Queen is a guy that's been thrown around. I mean, I think he would be an incredible addition. I
That
don't think
would be
the Ravens would be
so
stupid enough.
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he would really solidify a big need for us. Honestly, you bring in Patrick Queen, I don't really care who you bring in free agents. That would be a big signing. Tyler Boyd's been thrown around a little bit, and I know that that goes back to the Yinzer
You read
thing,
my mind.
but Joe, I nothing against Allen Robinson. It's not a Penn State Pitt thing, but I kind of feel like Tyler Boyd would be better there than Allen Robinson ever was. And I don't think any of us would sit there and say, I forgot Tyler Boyd was on the team. And I don't think Kenny Pickett would be either. And the thing that was disappointing about Allen Robinson here for sure was that, what does a young quarterback need? He needs a reliable slot receiver. And I think that's what they were hoping Allen Robinson would be. And he just never was that for whatever reason. Personally, I think he's past his prime with so many crap years in Chicago. But Tyler Boyd could be really interesting in the slot and not a guy that I think his play would be so mundane and we'd forget about him.
I think that would be so awesome on so many levels. Yeah, I think he would contribute a lot. But hometown kid, he's from Clairton. He went to Pitt. He knows the area. Hometown kid coming back, I think it would be wonderful, and I think he would be a great, just from an emotional standpoint, and I think he would be a great locker room presence. I think it'd just be, and a former Bengal, a former division rival, really sticking it to them. That would just be perfect. I really, really, really hope that happens. We'll see.
And they need some locker room presence, right? I mean, they do. If what you say is true, and I tend to lean towards you're probably right. Deontay Johnson remains a Steeler. There's a guy that's going to come in and patch that up. It could be a guy like a Tyler Boyd, right? He's vocal in a good way. And who wouldn't want to come finish out their career where they played? It's not such a Pittsburgh thing, right? I mean, it's anything like that. I'm sure. T. Higgins would love to finish out his career in New Orleans with the Saints, who knows? But that would be interesting. Connor Williams is another guy out there. He's a center for the Dolphins. If they bring him in, maybe then we're not even talking about this whole thing. Maybe they still can draft the kid from WVU and bring him along. So those would be the guys that, I think that are kind of sexy picks for me. I'm not sure. I don't know if Queen's attainable or not, but boy, Queen would be the guy that would make me jump up and down here on the laptop. I would be,
Also possibly available is Devin White of Tampa. That would be very interesting also.
very,
But
very interesting.
I think that's what they need to do, something, because you're not getting you're not getting a linebacker in the draft. And if you are, it's going to be like round 3, 4, 5, 6 or whatever.
Right.
So you got to go. You got to go in free agency or a trade. So that's going to be
And
really interesting.
like you said, you read off all those needs, which are quite a few. A couple other guys is Christian Wilkins, a defensive tackle,
Ooh.
and Reader from the Bengals.
Yeah.
That defensive tackle, they need to get depth there. I fully believe that, and I love Cam Hayward, you know that. I fully believe like you need to give him a little bit more of a breather. If he could play just a quarter of the snaps and get some breathing time and Cam, he's out there. He doesn't know if the other guy can do it. I don't know. Maybe that's it, but he wants to be out there. You get a guy out there who can give him some backup and make sure he's confident that, hey, if I do come out a couple of plays, I'm sure this guy's got it. One of those
Right.
two could be a great addition too. So, yeah,
It's
for
it's
sure.
it's time for Cam Hayward to still be on the team, but just reduce his role a little bit. It is amazing that he's still this good at that age, but you can't count on that forever. You gotta have a contingency there. They helped the defensive line. They started getting it younger last year with Keanu Benton. Now they got to continue. They got to get someone else because right now it's Benton, Larry Ogunjobi, and Cam Hayward, and that's and then a bunch of not so great
Well,
depth. So.
and you know what's fun about this, Joe, with Omar Khan is that, you could say, oh, you're two guys on a podcast just kind of throwing out wish dreams. But what he said the other day, he said the cap's there for a reason, and we intend to spend to use it. So somebody's coming here, or some people are coming here. And it's kind of fun because Omar Khan's going to go try to reel in a big fish. And I think at the top part of the cost there, Queen and Wilkins from Miami would be the two top. And then the rest of those guys we talked about would probably be in the bottom, right? So they're definitely going to bring something in. So it's just going to be kind of interesting to see which of those needs you said needs addressed are they going to go out and address in free agency? Because they've actually done pretty well free agencies lately, Joe. I definitely give them like a B grade on that. Unfortunately, injuries last year decimated us, but the guys they brought in did pretty well until they were injured. So. But it's exciting to have a GM like Omar Khan. And that is something else I also have faith in going into the season is I know he's going to do some stuff, should be good. Hopefully it'll work out and we'll be in a better spot come next August.
He's a modern GM. This is exactly what the team needed. Kevin Colbert, he was good for many years, but he got old fashioned and he got kind of bad toward the end. So it's really nice to have a modern GM. As I'm excited to see what Omar Khan does in his second off season. So
Yeah, they brought in seven guys in 2022, Joe, and they spent nearly $90 million to do it, right? So, I mean, he'll figure out a way, and I think they're going to do a way, and it's just going to be kind of fun. Are they going to go get Queen and Wilkins both? Most likely not, but one of the two would be nice. And then you could get Tyler Boyd on the swing, and because he's not going to cost that much, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And like you said, division wise too, what's T. Higgins going to do? I mean, he's a guy that's given us and our defensive backs a little bit of a problem, although Joey Porter Jr. worked well against him and Ja'Marr Chase both this year. Is he going to be there? Because losing T. Higgins would be kind of nice to see him go like to the West Coast or go to the AFC South or something where
Either
we don't want to see you twice a year.
way, I think it's beneficial for the rest of the division. Either they keep him and pay him a ton of money, and this is the problem now. They don't have Joe Burrow on that rookie deal anymore. They don't have T. Higgins on a rookie deal anymore, and pretty soon they're not going to have Ja'Marr Chase on a rookie deal. That's three
Nope.
dudes you got to pay a lot of money for, and that's just going to hurt the Bengals' salary cap. So whether they keep him or not, if they lose him, if they trade him or something like that, then they're going to be hurt. If they keep him, they're going to be hurt because of the salary cap. So I think that benefits the Steelers either way.
Yep.
And that's the thing is you still have Kenny on his rookie deal and whoever you get, to back him up won't cost that much. So you're not spending $40, $50 million on the quarterback position. So you could do things like, get a Patrick Queen or something like that. So yeah,
Right.
we'll see. And
Right.
that's next week free agency is, right?
Yeah, and you know that's what it could be a next the next two podcasts could be a lot of fun because the way you look at that is you do want to see what Cleveland and Cincinnati are doing. So I'm glad you brought up Cincinnati because I still feel like right now today it's Baltimore, then I think it's Pittsburgh and Cleveland kind of neck and neck, back and forth, however you want to say it. And then Cincinnati maybe have the better quarterback of those two, but they have a lot of needs and a lot of holes. And the Bengals just sorry, the Bengals are the Bengals. I know they were 9-8. But there was an ugly, ugly 9-8. I think you got to keep pace with what Cleveland does and whatever Baltimore might do, because I don't think Cleveland and Pittsburgh are that far away from Baltimore. I think they're closer to Baltimore than Cincinnati is. But it's going to be interesting because I think that Browns are a pretty good team. They had a lot of injuries. A lot of those guys will be back. And I think it could be a Cleveland Pittsburgh battle for the AFC North by next year.
Yeah,
I have a feeling.
I was just talking to a Ravens fan today, and he basically said last season that was our best chance. I don't believe that because I mean the Baltimore always they just have a really smart front office and they
They
always
do.
figure out ways,
They draft
to stay
well.
ahead. They draft well,
Yep.
they free agents trades, they always do everything well, but still you got Lamar on that huge contract now. I mean, and I know the salary cap went up, but that's still a good chunk of your salary cap going just to that.
Right.
And yeah, it could be. It's possible. They gotta do it right. They have to make some right moves. If they're not careful, yeah, they could get screwed up. So yeah, it's gonna be real interesting division, but it all starts with the Steelers, and really it all starts with the damn quarterback. If they don't get that right, oh boy. And hey, that's their decision.
Yeah.
It looks like that's the decision is we're sticking with Kenny, or who knows, what's gonna happen, but
And so
ooh.
last year, right in I guess not episode one necessarily, but as we kicked off the NFL season, I held up the sign, no more excuses for Matt Canada. This year I might have to hold up the sign, no more excuses, Kenny Pickett, because if you're right,
Right.
you say, hey, and we don't know what's gonna happen between now and let's say April or May. So let's take a look at so we're sitting here June. They bring in a couple of free agents. This is who they drafted. Now we know who they drafted. Now we're getting ready for mini camp. And Kenny's the guy. Well, now it's like you got a new offensive coordinator. Probably gonna improve the offensive line a little bit, probably get you some talent a little bit. No more excuses, Kenny. So the Kenny lovers, okay. The Kenny haters, yeah. And that'll be my only fear, Joe, is if they do go after a bigger name guy like a Bo Nix, if they somehow would bring him in or one of the other quarterbacks, you know how that's gonna go. If Kenny Pickett stumbles, there's going to be a Bo Nix or whoever. I'm just using Bo Nix as an example.
Right,
Bo Nix or whoever it is, fan club from La Trobe, just waiting to like, Bo Nix, Bo Nix. I can see it. The Steelers have become, well, it's not that they become. I mean, my dad reminds me of that all the time because I watch our podcast. He's like, you don't remember the Terry Hanratty, Terry Bradshaw, Jefferson Street, Joe Gilliam. We were still up until 72 and 73. We weren't sure about Bradshaw. So I
That's
guess
the
that's just the
thing.
kind of town we are.
And they just talked to Terry Bradshaw, and Terry Bradshaw's like, listen, you got to give Kenny and Pickett a chance. And Terry Bradshaw should have just said, hey, look what happened with me. That's true. I wasn't old enough. I'm guessing you weren't old enough, but yeah, I mean, he was what, the number one overall pick in 70, and it really wasn't until the Super Bowl year 74 that he was a starter, and that's just because who knows what happened with Joe Gilliam and stuff, because Joe Gilliam was looking really good for a while, and yeah, I'm sure Terry Hanratty was thrown in the mix too, so
Well,
yeah.
Hanratty was the local guy, right? And Notre Dame. And I've always said it, Pitt's Allegheny County, you got Pitt's probably one, but Notre Dame and Penn State are like a close two because all the Catholics are like Notre Dame, and that drives me nuts. But yeah, I mean, you go to a Pitt Notre Dame game to this day, and it's pretty close to sold
Oh, yeah.
out. So yeah, I can imagine, the big name, if there was a kid from Pittsburgh and went and just hit it out of the park and won a Heisman at Notre Dame. If he came to the Steelers, oh my God. Because there's still that Catholic presence in the city of Pittsburgh, that's
Oh,
always
yeah.
going to be there. But
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
no, I remember, my dad just saying that, like, yeah, Harry, there was Hanratty, there was Joe Gilliam, and there was Terry. And yeah, so it's not new to us. We've just got so used to and adored with Ben for such a long time. But yeah, we're back to who is it now?
I think there is the Notre Dame quarterback, I think, is like projected to be a like a sixth or
Oh
seventh round draft pick. So maybe that's maybe the Steelers should get him and then really have
Right.
let's have
Right.
Harry Hanratty 2.0 or something.
Yes. Yep.
I'm
Well, Jerome
surprised.
Bettis was a Notre Dame guy. I mean,
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of autograph stuff. I've told you before, just working in the media as I didn't for a while there. I just wasn't a big deal for me getting pictures with athletes, but I do have a Jerome Bettis signed Notre Dame card. You know, I think it
Oh.
was NFL Pro Set. Remember how NFL Pro Set was big in the 90s?
Yeah.
When the football card and baseball card, you know, hit the rocks bottom for a while there, it wasn't worth anything. I haven't looked at how much it's worth now, but yeah, that was his rookie card. They had like a special Jerome Bettis Notre Dame before he got drafted to the Rams, number six. But yeah, I remember Bettis being a Notre Dame guy. A lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people forget that or not, but I do.
Sam Hartman is
Yes.
the Notre Dame quarterback, and he's
Okay.
currently the 10th ranked quarterback on the board. So
So you're about right. That could be a fifth round, fourth round guy. I can't class somebody stupid, like, you know, the Falcons pick him like the third pick or something. You know, the Jets. But and you know, you want to know what the Browns are gonna do, because I still don't feel I just don't think that they have a quarterback. Watson, to me,
No.
I'm sorry, guys. And Flacco's not gonna go a whole year. So they're in the same bucket, if not maybe a worse bucket than we are.
You think you're in good shape, Browns?
Yeah.
You got because you had an 80-year-old guy that played well for a few games. You think you're good? You got your problems just begun, guys. Oh my
Right.
goodness. And they keep adjusting his. They keep like kicking the can on his salary. So it's like, okay, this year it'll be 60 million. They're probably like readjust it again. So they'll make like, okay, next year we'll pay it. Like, oh man, that just sunk their whole franchise. If only the Browns just kept Baker Mayfield or got someone else and didn't do the shenanigans with Deshaun Watson, they'd probably be way better off. Way better.
Well, I think if they had Baker this year, I think they sneak past us and maybe even Baltimore and either win the division or kick us out, you know. So yeah, it's just so funny how the quarterbacks play out like that. So yeah, who knows? Yeah, I could see the Steelers, and I think a lot of teams, Joe, it's a copycat league. So I think a lot of them now might be willing to do what the 49ers did, you know, and see if they can snag a quarterback late and see if they catch lightning in a bottle like the 49ers did. So who knows, you know?
I said, I think every seventh round draft pick forever should be on a quarterback. And
Well,
just in case you find the next Brock Purdy, because
except
you're not risking it. Now, don't do like you did with that quarterback a few years ago. It didn't like put a you know a janitor and then not even have him throw or anything like that. Actually have an actual quarterback.
didn't he wasn't he like the third string for the Chiefs? Didn't he win a Super Bowl
I
ring?
think so.
That's like just
I think
amazing.
so.
Like, yeah. So I mean, it's just there's what's fun about the NFL is all of this, right? The how you play your cards. It's a chess game, the GM, money spent, because you know what they're gonna do. I mean, right now, like you said, they're about 10 million that they can spend. They're gonna restructure Watt, they're gonna restructure Fitzpatrick, Hayward a little bit, Robinson's gone, so that's probably gonna free up another 27 mil. So they should have money to spend. Just how do you spend it wisely? Who do you spend it on? Now, the cornerbacks, a couple cornerbacks out there. Do you bring in a big name cornerback? And now you have Porter Jr. You could have one of the best defensive back tandems in the league. And if you look at the Eagles 2 years ago, they were unstoppable. I mean, they shut everybody down. Big reason they went to the Super Bowl. This year totally fell off. Big reason they missed it. So you sit there and say, well, you know, look what happened to the Eagles when they had great defensive back. Look what happened when it fell apart. So there's just so much fun to figure out. Where's Omar Khan going to target the money? Why? And is it going to work?
Yep. It's going to be fascinating. It's going to we're going to see. I'm surprised we haven't heard from Arthur Smith yet. It's a little, I mean, I know he just got here, but still, I'm surprised. Not that they talk to the coordinators a lot, but I just want to I want to hear what he has to say, because I mean, after the initial shock, all I've heard was almost like nothing but good things, and how good he is with people, and how smart he is, and how just he's a real good fit. So I don't know. I'd like to just hear from him, see what he has to say.
Yeah, apparently, according to everybody, he's a very nice guy, very well spoken, including from my wife, because his dad, I believe, is Fred Smith. Yeah, Fred Smith from FedEx, and that's where he came from, a lot of money, obviously. But I know he's been in a couple of FedEx events years ago. Very nice guy, very well spoken guy. So, yeah, I
Interesting.
think, and he may maybe he just doesn't know. Like in Pittsburgh, we like to hear from the coordinators. I don't know about how they do it in Tennessee or New Orleans or wherever. They might could care less about the coordinators. But yeah, this is Pittsburgh, so we like to,
We know
we
you're
like
not the
to,
head coach, but
right? Yeah,
you're pretty important. Ask the last guy. Ask what happened to him. It's not like you're anonymous around here, buddy.
Yeah. There's probably going to be a day where Dick LeBeau gets a statue built somewhere
Oh
around Heinz
yeah.
Field. So, buddy, if you work out well and we do something with you, there could be a
Yeah,
statue, the Steelers statue fund, which is probably pretty large. Yeah, that could be you someday, Arthur.
yeah. One more thing. The Steelers lost a legend in the game, Andy Russell. And all I hear is, damn it, he should have made the Hall of Fame. He should have been in the Hall of Fame. But it's the whole thing of, oh, there's too many Steelers in there. You can't put him in. It's like, but he was one of the few people that Chuck Knoll kept from that whole team when he
Like
first came. So that's a
literally.
major respect right there. It was like Ray Mansfield, Andy Russell, and like a couple other people.
Yeah, and I think I love I think they still do it. I think it's the NFL Films does America's Game, right? So you win a Super Bowl and you do that. And I think the 72 one was narrated by like Tom Selleck or Bruce Willis. But they choose, a couple guys from that team to talk. And from that Super Bowl, the first one, Andy Russell is one of them. And he really, I love his stories because he's one of the few guys, if the only guy, for years there that could make that connection on, this is how bad we were. This is what happened when Chuck got here. And this is what we did after Chuck was here. Because, we lost poor Ray Mansfield, so many years ago, at a very young age. I really appreciated that about Andy Russell. One of my dad's favorite players, I'm sure, God bless his soul, your father, probably another guy I could talk to the ends of the earth about Andy Russell, right? Our dads love guys like Andy Russell.
I heard that America's Game, and Andy Russell said, yeah, when Chuck Knoll first came in, he had a team meeting. He said, I looked at the tape, and there's a reason why you haven't been winning any games. You all suck, and
Yeah.
you're gonna be gone because you all suck. So that's why he only kept like a few of them.
Yeah. Well,
But.
and he loved to tell the story. If you ever went to any events he spoke at, and I know Steeler fans, you hear it 100 times, but he always told that story, and he was the only one who told it well. Was when Joe Green walks in, he's already 10 days late, held out, and Ray Mansfield was pissed, and he tells that great story about how Ray's like, I'm going to show this guy something, and Joe Green knocks the ever living crap out of Ray Mansfield, who goes like 6 yards back, and Andy Russell says, I look at Chuck Noll and I go, whoa, this guy, we have something. We have something. Joe Green was just, yeah. And he said, because everybody respected Ray Mansfield so much, and for a guy to just toss him like a rag doll. And I think so, yeah, I'm trying to say, so he was a Steelers MVP, I think, in 70 and 71. I know it was 71 for sure. I'm not sure about 70, but yeah, he's team MVP. 7 Pro Bowl appearances from I think 70 to like 77. 76, 60, whatever, 69, 76. But yeah, I mean, great guy. And never not willing to tell that story. And tell it every kind of local Hall of Fame you could think of. He embraced Pittsburgh.
Is he the greatest Steeler not in the Hall of Fame?
I'd say that's still LC Greenwood, but
Yeah.
he would be a close second. I mean, LC's probably the main victim of that Steeler,
Oh,
ice.
yeah.
I mean, they were talking, I was talking about that Super Bowl week. He still holds the record for most sacks in a Super Bowl.
Four
Five.
sacks in the game. Five sacks. My God.
Four sacks on Roger Staubach, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer,
Yeah.
and a guy that was very good at eluding, probably one of the
Right.
first mobile quarterbacks along
Yeah.
with Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah.
And here's, LC just chucking him, right? I think he had 76 stat sacks, which wasn't kept at the time. But yeah, LC and then Andy. But for a big reason, like you said, Andy's the holdover, right? He was the one guy that, came with those terrible Steeler teams and could appreciate that.
Yeah, rest in peace. That was a big loss. It's a shame. All right. Well, we'll see what happens with free agency. Well, we had our little break. Now it's ramped up again. We're off to the races again. So
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fun race to be in, too.
that's right. That's right. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Joe. Take care.